If you open the sale, be sure to close the sale. I'm Brian Flanagan. I'm the Director of Corporate Training for the Zig Ziglar Corporation. Today, Zig and I will address specific closing strategies that you can put to use immediately. This is tape one of a six-tape series that is designed to help you improve your selling skills. The closing phase of the sales process should be the logical conclusion to your selling efforts. However, as you and I both know, oftentimes our prospects need a little bit of help in reaching that conclusion. On the first segment of this tape, Zig identifies four sales ideas that will assist you in closing more sales. He will then address the importance of using both emotion and logic in closing. Zig claims that logic makes people think and emotion makes people act. That's right. Logic makes people think and emotion makes people act. Zig concludes his portion of this tape with four keys in closing. One of Zig's points is that the salesperson often makes the sale before he or she actually makes the call. How's that? You make the sale before you make the call? That's right. To put it another way, you must be convinced before you can be convincing. If you would like to know just how to do this, you should pay close attention to the example that Zig calls the positive projection close. Let's join Zig as he presents four basic sales concepts.
I want to present to you four ideas. Idea number one, there is not now, there never has been, and there never will be an outstanding salesman or sales lady, one who climbed to the top, one who broke the records, one who sold more than everybody. There has never been a truly outstanding salesperson who was normal. In every single case, without exception, they're just a little bit warped in their belief in what they're selling. It is beyond their wildest imagination to even begin to be able to understand how anybody could even think about discussing the possibility of even remotely entertaining the thought of not buying from them. Their belief is so deep and so fervent that they can't understand how anybody could say no. And because they are so sold on what they're doing, many people do not ever say no. But this brings up the second idea, and that is they need to understand the difference between refusal and rejection. Because you see, I don't care how strongly you believe in something, occasionally you're going to bump into somebody who's obnoxious, stubborn, and hard-headed, and regardless of how deeply you believe in what you're selling, they're still going to say no. How many of you already bumped into some of those unreasonable people already? So you need to understand what is that difference between refusal and rejection. Now, my son, who is now 19 years old, has understood that from the day of his birth. I do believe the difference. He had asked me for something, and I'd say no. He would not get upset with me. He would wait about 5 minutes and give me a chance to correct what obviously was a mistake. How many of you have kids that are just that good to you? He did not feel even remotely rejected. He just figured his dad missed the question. And so he would give me another chance. Now, what I'm suggesting to you is when your prospect misses the question, when they say no to you, don't get upset with them. Just give them a chance to correct that obvious mistake. Now, the third thing you got to understand is that there is not now, nor will you ever see, where salespeople are born. I've traveled almost all over the world. I've seen where women have given birth to boys. I've seen where they've given birth to girls. I have never, however, seen where a woman has given birth to a salesman. Now, I read very often that salesmen die. So if they're not born, but they do die, that obviously means that somewhere between birth and death, by choice and by training, they become what they have set out or trained to become. I've never seen where a woman has given birth to a doctor. How would you like to have a natural-born doctor ad-libbing through your abdomen? Or a natural born lawyer defending you in court. No, they're not born, but they do die. I've never seen where a woman has given birth to a success or to a failure. It's either a boy or a girl. We become by our efforts primarily what we end up becoming. Don't ever think you got to be a natural born salesman. And the fourth is what I have projected throughout. The fourth idea is that you got to thoroughly understand who the winner is in a sales transaction. If you think the sales process is something you do to somebody, then you're in the wrong business. The sales process is something you do for somebody or with somebody. And when you understand that the prospect is the winner, then you're in the right phase of selling. Now, that does carry one extreme responsibility. That demands that you, the salesperson, sell those goods, those products, or those services which are legitimate in performance, legitimate in price, legitimately serviced, and the whole ball game. I personally believe that it's more important that the salesperson have integrity than almost any profession in America. And I say that simply because when we are trained in the skills of persuasion, some smooth-talking salesperson can talk gullible, unsuspecting people into buying goods and services that are not worth what they're asking for it, or that perhaps they should not go ahead and buy. The integrity of the salesperson is tremendously important. I'm going to share with you the importance of using these four principles. I'm going to talk to you about emotion and logic and how you tie logic and emotion together. See, logic makes people think, and emotion makes them act. If you use all logic in a sales presentation, you will end up with the best educated prospect in town, and they'll go down the street and buy their merchandise. If you use all emotion in a sales presentation, then you will probably end up with a sale, only to have the customer disgruntled and maybe cancel the order next day, or more significant, end up as being a dissatisfied customer. But when you use emotion and logic and tie them together, then you're going to end up with more sales today and far more happy customers tomorrow. And the first key that I want to share with you this evening is what we call the key of positive projection. Now, let me stress a point. Your business is never either good or bad out there. Your business is either good or bad right here between your own two ears. And if you're thinking it's stinking, your business is going to end up being in exactly the same condition. It's between your own ears that you've got to make that sale. How many of you are in a business where people come in to buy from you? Can I see your hands? How many of you have ever had a prospect to come in and look a little bit lost, and you approach to give some help, and they assure you that they are, quote, just looking? How many of you have ever had somebody say that to you? How many of you believed them when they said they were just looking? You didn't believe them? Well, that's too bad, because they were flat telling you the truth. Now, I never knew that until my youngest daughter graduated from high school. Now, when she graduated, we had agreed that we were going to buy her a new car for a graduation present. And the big day arrived, and we were all set to go down and get her the new car. She had not gone to bed the night before. And there was a very good reason for it. She was getting dressed. I mean, listen, this was her first new car. She was putting on her Sunday go to meeting best, as we'd say down home. She was dressed fit to kill. I was working that day, so I was dressed approximately as I am right now. We pulled up in front of the automotive showroom. I was driving a pretty nice car. And as we got out and walked in, a young salesman approached us. And even though we gave some evidence of affluence, he came up and offered us charity. Can I help you? Now, let me stress a point. I have never sold automobiles, and I do not really know what constitutes a good automobile prospect. But let me describe the situation and see if you think this would describe a pretty good one. A daddy with his daughter. He publicly announces that he is going to buy his daughter a car. He apparently has the money to do it with. In your judgment, would that constitute a pretty reasonable prospect? Would that be a good prospect in your mind, all right? The salesman said, "Can I help you?" And I said, yes. I was in somewhat of a hurry, as always. And I said, my daughter just graduated from high school. We are looking for her a car. Scout's honor. That young salesman looked straight at me and said, well, if you see anything you like, let me know. And he turned around and walked away. Now, I don't know if the young man lasted one more day or whether he's still in the automobile business or not. But in his lifetime, he's never had a better automobile prospect than I was with my daughter at that moment. I thought that was pretty bad, actually, until I got to the next place. He said exactly the same thing, except he had B.O. He apparently had been using that new 23-hour deodorant. You know, the company that makes that one figures everybody's entitled to some time to themselves. There's another one called Stereo. Now, it doesn't kill the odor, but at least you can't tell where it's coming from, you know. I went to the third place, and we got almost the same treatment. We went to the fourth dealership and got lucky. Now, the reason I say we got lucky is because my daughter had dated the salesman. So we had a connection with the dealership, and we were able to buy a car. But that's the first time I had ever realized that you had to know somebody in order to buy something. And I understood two things, basically, that day. I understood, first of all, why we were right in the middle of a recession. We couldn't get waited on. And then I understood the second thing. When a prospect comes in and says they are just looking, believe me, they are desperately looking for a salesperson to sell them something so they don't have to keep on looking. Now, when a prospect comes in and says they're just looking, I don't think you ought to grab them and hug them. I mean, you can go too far in anything. But when they say they're just looking, the first thing you want to do when you approach them with a presentation of any kind, you want to step up simply and give them a quiet greeting. And if they look like the timid type, make a non-threatening gesture, a move backwards. Let them know that you are not there to pounce on them and try to sell them something. Well, they say, I'm just looking. Then you simply take a step back and say, well, we're delighted that you've chosen our store to look in. Be our guest and look as you will. By the way, my name is Cindy. And if I can be of any help, I'd be delighted to do so. Oh, and by the way, if I can't show you exactly what you want here, maybe I could even suggest the place where you could find it. Would you like that? Now, you see, that's non-threatening. And yet it lets them know that you're a person who cares. It gives some indication that you are a communications expert. And it gives some indication that maybe you just know what you're doing. I believe you can make more sales that way. The next one's what I call the sure sale close. It has to do with positive projection again. I read this story several years ago about a printing company on the East Coast that had an expansion program underway. They would hire a brand new salesman every 6 months. They would train the salesperson in the office, in the plant, giving him all the technical details they needed to know. Then they would send him out in the field to work with an experienced salesperson until they knew the sales procedures to use. And then always, as the final result, the boss would call him in for that final little pep talk before he sent him out to do battle with the prospects out there. Well, they hired this one young salesman. He was especially young, especially green, and the boss figured he better give him a little extra. So he said to him, son, now we are going to send you directly across the street to see the prospect over there. I want you to understand before you go over there that this old man is mean, nasty, and ornery. He's foul-mouthed from the word go. He's going to make you think he's going to bite your head off and chew it up and spit it out in little bitty pieces. But son, he's all bark. He's no bite. As a matter of fact, if you will let him know that you're a new salesman, and whatever he says to you, you just come back to him and say, yes, sir, I understand that, but this is the finest printing offer in this city. This is what you ought to have. If you will say that, I can absolutely guarantee you, you will walk out of there with an order. Well, across the street, our young hero goes. I mean, this is a sure sale for sure. And he walks in. He's prepared to take the abuse in order to get the sale. He introduces himself, the name of his company, and those are the last words he said for about 10 minutes. That old boy really told him how the cow ate the cabbage. I mean, he read him the right act in no uncertain terms. Didn't offend the young man at all. He just stood there, and when he had finally run down, he was a good listener. He heard him out. He said, "Yes, sir, I understand, but we've got the finest printing offer in this entire city. And we're running a marvelous special this week. This is what you ought to have." Well, back and forth they go for about 30 minutes. And at the end of it, not only was a sale made, but it was the biggest sale in the history of the company. The young man was understandably excited. He was working on a commission and a salary. So he put that order pad back in his briefcase. Didn't even bother to lock it. Made a mad dash back across to his boss. He walked in without knocking. He threw the order on the boss's desk. And he said, "You're really right. That old man is mean, nasty, ornery, foul-mouthed. But he really is a buyer. Look at the sale I made. The biggest one in the history of our company." And the boss looked at it and about had a conniption, if you know what that is. He said, "Son," he said, "you called on the wrong man." He said, "That old boy is the meanest, nastiest, orneriest, most foul-mouthed old goat in town. We have been trying for years and years and years to sell him. You're the first man who ever scratched." That is a true story. Question, where did he make the sale? That's right. He made the sale before he made the call. Suppose the boss had said to him, "Now, son, I'm going to send you over there to call on this old buzzard. Don't know why. I've been sending my best man over there for 17 years. Nobody's ever sold anything." I think you know what would have happened. No sale. But he had made the sale in his mind. That is the key of positive projection. When you see somebody come walking in your store or you go out to see somebody else, I can tell you, in your own mind, you ought to have already completed the sale. Whether it's a young man walking in the Naval Recruiting Station or the Marine Recruiting Station or the Air Force or whatever, you need to have in your own mind made up your mind. Here's somebody whom we can help with a career. If they come into jewelry or cosmetics or clothing or furniture or whatever kind of store you're running, in your own mind you want to say they are coming in for a purpose. How many of you would like to do all of your Christmas shopping one day, one time in the same store without having to go look anywhere else? Can I see your hands? You remember earlier I talked to you about the difference in empathy? You got to sit on the customer side of the table and you got to sit over here on the salesperson side of the table. When those people come in to see you, assume, my friend, that they're guilty of buying. Convict them in your own mind and understand that what they really would like to do is save a lot of time and effort. Give them a chance to buy. Do not prejudge and eliminate them. Yes, that key of positive projection can have some marvelous results. But remember, as I've said two or three times already, spectacular performance is always preceded, as Dr. Robert Shuler said, by unspectacular preparation. I'm saying read and study and listen. You physically and mentally get ready. You technically and emotionally get ready to get out there and sell. The beautiful thing about this mental preparation and mental projection, as Dr. Maxwell Maltz used to say, is that when you go through these mental gymnastics in your mind, you'll never miss a sale. You'll never have a failure. You'll never deal with a rejection. Everything is all set up exactly right. You play the tape in your mind over and over, and when you do that enough times, you're getting emotionally ready so that you can, in fact, make more sales. If you're going to be a successful closer, you got to mentally see yourself as a closer before you physically close the sale. You write the order in your mind when you get out of the bed in the morning. You start writing, and you continue to write those orders in your mind all day long. The closing professional is observing, thinking, and dreaming about selling. On every sales interview, he projects the result he wishes to state. You never prejudge the prospect. Sales and Marketing Executives International say that the number one reason that salespeople fail, above all of the other reasons, is that they prejudge the prospect, convict them of not buying before they ever give them a chance to buy. The key of positive projection, yes, is extremely important. The next close I'm going to share with you is what we call the Neiman Marcus close. And here's one where we felt pressure, but it was so gentle and it felt so good. Never will forget a number of years ago, and I know everybody's experienced this. When you see a house or a car or a suit or a coat or something, and you say, that looks like me or that's mine, I just know it's got my name all. How many of you have had that feeling on a number of different occasions in your lifetime? Well, we were on Neiman Marcus at around Christmas time. We got on the escalator to go up, and as we stepped off the escalator, this is the one over in North Park, as we stepped off the escalator, there on this mannequin was this beautiful fur coat. I looked at the coat, and I looked at the redhead. She looked at the coat, and she looked at me. And without anybody saying anything, both of us knew that that was her coat without another word being said. Well, we both stopped at the same time to look at it. I looked inside at the fur. How many of you ladies know where she looked? At the price. That's absolutely right. She looked at the price. I said, sweetheart, isn't this beautiful? She said, it ought to be. And she turned to walk away.
You have reached the end of side A. Please turn to side B to continue Zig's message.